Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number three of our radio program, and it's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And we're coming to you live by the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They want to see your loan options, adjust payments and costing and closing costs online in real time. Rocket can. Deion Branch, Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl 39, former Patriot, former Seahawk. He's going to stop by in 59 minutes from now. Let's squeeze a little baseball talk in. And we've read over the last few days there have been testing problems in Major League Baseball, where over the holiday weekend, either some team showed up and the testers weren't there, or the tests would go out and they did not come back and they didn't hear it in a timely fashion. From what I read and from I heard from many players, that in the agreement, they would take the test and they were guaranteed that the results would come back in 2 days. Clearly with some teams, that's not happening. For example, today being Tuesday, the Giants got ready to go out to their workouts. And the Giants actually suspended their workouts at Oracle Park pending the results of tests conducted this past weekend. I was reading an article. They got tested on Saturday. No test back on Sunday. No test back on Monday. And it's still unclear if the test ever came back on Tuesday. Last time we heard, the tests were not back. Maybe that has changed and maybe they have come back since then, but they suspended the workouts. And here's my thought, and who knows how this is going to work in season, but let's say you get tested in season and you have a game. Let's say you get tested on Wednesday. You get tested on Wednesday. You're expected to have those results back by Friday. You go from one series. Let's say, for example, the Yankees are playing the Red Sox on a Wednesday. They get tested. Then 2 days later, the Yankees are playing the Blue Jays. If the Yankees don't get those tests back in by Friday afternoon, are they going to play in those games? And a lot of players right now are voicing their frustrations, and it's a bad look here from baseball's side, and there's going to be complications. There's going to be problems. We know that. Nothing is going to be perfect because there's no playbook. There's no formula for this. We're hoping X, Y, and Z is executed to plan. And even if you have X, Y, and Z executed to plan, you could have something else pop up that you weren't even thinking about. Or the virus continues to spread, and then in September, we have to shut back down again. So there's many things that you could do everything right, and something could be out of your control, or something could be wrong on your end. And where baseball is going to look foolish here is they spent so much time debating publicly money, 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 money. That's all we heard. Money, money, money. Players, we want fully prorated. Major League Baseball, you're not getting fully prorated in the amount of games that you want. You have to take a significant reduction in salary. Then I guess, you know, they didn't even come to an agreement. They agreed on certain safety and health protocols, but the commissioner had to mandate a 60-game season. So it's not surprising to me that in this summer camp or spring training 2.0, that there's some complications. And the season is supposed to start, depending on what team you're on, July 23rd or July 24th. On July 23rd, you got Yankees and Nationals, a little Gerrit Cole and Max Scherzer, and the nightcap, you got Giants and Dodgers. And then everyone else will resume their season and start their season, and the commencement of the season will happen the next day on the 24th. My question is, from now, as my microphone almost fell down there. Did you hear that in the background, Trace, or no?
No, it was seamless.
Oh, it was seamless. My microphone almost fell right off. I didn't, like, have to catch it, but my microphone, it started to wobble and almost fell right off the table and then fell right back into place. But anyway, what I was getting at is I'll be curious to see how many players from now until July 23rd, July 24th, elect to opt out. And we're not talking about a long time to make that decision. Baseball's coming back. You have the rest of this week, the week after that, and then that following week, it's here. It's going to happen. And how many players are going to say, yeah, I'm good? And I keep on seeing these quotes, and it's really going to depend on the testing because, hey, no one's going to feel comfortable right now. Yeah, there are some players are going to show up, and they're going to feel safer than others, and other players are going to show up and say, yeah, I'm not concerned about this. Sure, there's going to be some of those players, but there's going to be a lot of players that anxiety kicks in, and when the testing's not coming back on time, when you're traveling from city to city, you're going to be curious how this works out. And you also got to be concerned in some capacity because you may be a player that goes home at night, isn't going out to restaurants, isn't getting in an Uber, you're using your own car, and you could be doing all the right things to put you in a situation where you're not exposing yourself all that much to the public. Yeah, you probably have to go to the grocery store. I guess you could get groceries delivered to your house. That's been popular during this. But you could be doing the right things. And then one of your teammates is letting their guard down and trying to party it up and isn't respecting you. You know, like, it's always like what my dad told me here. When I started to drive, my dad said, I'm not concerned about you driving. I trust you to make the right decisions. I trust you to be safe behind the wheel. It's the other people that are driving, that drive recklessly, that I'm concerned about. And in this case, yes, you could be doing all the right things, and you go to one supermarket, you could get the virus. That's out of your control. But there's other times where you're doing the right things, but maybe people living in your home or people that you're friends with that you are seeing during this aren't doing the right things, and they show up, let's say, to hang out in your backyard for 2-3 hours, and they tell you, oh, yeah, I've been practicing all proper social distancing. I've been wearing a mask. I've been doing everything the right way. And in reality, they're lying to you, and they come into your backyard with the virus, and you end up getting it. Things like that are going to happen. And I'm reading through some of these quotes today from some pretty big-name players. This is Chris Bryant, Mike Trout, Buster Posey, and Mookie Betts that I'll read you their quotes the last few days. Chris Bryant said this, I don't want to be insensitive to people who haven't been able to get tests, but as the country gets access to more of those, it's appropriate to talk about our situation here. That's what Bryant said yesterday at Wrigley Field. What we agreed to was the testing every other day, and we've had guys who show up on Sunday, June 28th, and hadn't got tested again until 7 days later, and you don't get the test results until 2 days later. That's 9 days without knowing. And if you're getting tested regularly, and you're told you're going to get tested regularly, and you have to go 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 days without knowing, that's nerve-wracking. And for a guy like Chris Bryant, yeah, you walk into a place skeptical, and you would like assurance that, okay, they have their act together. You expect some small road bumps in this process. But right now, it doesn't look like Major League Baseball has their act together. Mike Trout, the best player in the sport, he says, it's a tough situation for everybody. I talk to a lot of guys across the league, and they're texting me a lot. I'm not going to name any names, but they're all thinking the same things. Is this going to work? And I think that's a fair question. That's a fair question for all sports. Is this going to work? Basketball, hockey, baseball, football, is this going to work? And if a sport like basketball has to start and then close down again, what does that mean for the other sports? Does that necessarily mean that hockey's going to shut down? Does that necessarily mean that baseball's going to start and then shut down? And let's say all three of these sports, baseball, NBA, and hockey, they start back up July, August. And then by late August or early September, they shut down. Will then football try to start back up? Will they try to get their season going? And I think football is going to. We know money is such a big factor here, but if, you know, we talked about this with Cliff Avril last night. Cliff Avril said if he was still playing and the NFL has the benefit of time and they still have to get their act together, but the NFL, if he was an NFL player still, he'd be watching the other sports. He even said a sport like hockey, which he would never watch, he'd be watching just to see the way that those athletes, and he'd be covering it just to see the way that those athletes are being treated and things that are going wrong there and the way that they could address them in their sport. Buster Posey said this. I think there's still some reservation on my end. This is what Posey said at a team practice at Oracle Park on Saturday. I want to see how things progress here over the next couple of weeks. I think it would be a little bit maybe naive or silly not to gauge what's going on around you. Not only around you here, but paying attention to what's happening in the country and different parts of the country. Obviously, unprecedented times right now. Most definitely, I've thought about it and talked about it with my wife quite a bit. And that's another part of this. How many players' families are going to influence their decision? Not only a wife or a girlfriend saying maybe you should stay home, but maybe your children too. And if you have a child that has a compromised immune system, that's got to factor into your decision as well, because you're not going to a bubble if you're a baseball player. Baseball players, you're going to be at home for half the season, on the road for half the season. So there's definitely still quite a bit of traveling going on there. And Mookie Betts, who is on the verge of hitting free agency and on the verge of having a big contract, he says he still has his doubts just based on what's going on. I'm definitely preparing the same way. I'm fully expecting to play, but that doesn't mean there aren't doubts that kind of go on when the facts aren't in front of you. And I was reading a little bit more about this. I saw Bob Nightingale say the other day that unless if it's a medical reason, if you just sit out because you feel like it's unsafe and you don't have any prior medical history, then you are not going to get credit for this season. So the way that I think this is going to work is that a lot of guys that are about to hit free agency, they're going to show up. And maybe a guy like Mookie Betts, because he's on a really good team, he's going to play. But what happens if the Dodgers get off to a bad start? What happens if the Dodgers are one of those teams that we expect to get to the World Series, and after 30, 35 games, they were just miserable, they were on a cold streak, multiple players in slumps? Does a guy like Mookie Betts, for the final 25, 30 games of the season, say, yeah, I'm going to shut it down? How many guys are going to start saying this year, early on in the season, middle of the season, or in the final 2 weeks of the season, yeah, my back is aching. I got a sore back. Or my hamstring is feeling tight. Or for pitchers, ooh, my shoulder's really hurting. And they'll get their x-rays done. Well, there's no structural damage. You look fine. And it's really them saying, yeah, I'm ready to end this season. I'm ready to shut it down. Things like that are going to happen. Players have a lot of control here. Players have a lot of power here. And these big stars can control a lot of this. And a lot could change in the next 2-3 weeks. I do firmly believe that the season is going to start. You know, we've seen someone like Nick Markakis pull out of the season after talking over with Freddie Freeman. But how many other players are either going to say goodbye to the season before it starts, or very early on in the season start to say that they're not feeling all that well in terms of an injury that maybe they think that they're suffering, when in reality they know that they aren't and they're making a fine financial decision? There's the health battle right now. There's the financial battle right now. And then there's also the mental battle, too. With the way that this virus has spread, with the way how many people have got it, you have to make a decision about your health. You also have to look at your financial situation. And we look at this from an NBA perspective. A guy like Davis Bertans, two prior ACL injuries, he's sitting out the season. Now, his team doesn't have a shot, really, to win a championship. They don't have a shot to win a championship. I mean, you're that close to getting that money. Yeah, 8, 9, 10 games isn't worth it to him. Go lose a half $1 million, you're going to get that back in a snap of a finger in free agency. And then the other part is the mental side of it. Because I don't know about you guys, when I first started hanging out with a few friends, or even when I still come in contact with people, yeah, in the moment it's fun, it's nice to see everybody, but then the next day, you wake up and there's a lot of anxiety in your system because you don't truly know if people have it or not. And you wake up and I feel my head and I go, man, I feel hot. Go over to the thermometer and I have a 97.5. And I go, oh, my anxiety is getting the best of me. So there's a lot of certain factors here. And I wonder how a lot of the mental stress is going to affect the games. Baseball, sport like basketball, hockey. If your mind are in a different place, how is that going to affect some of these athletes? Be curious to see how it goes. Hey, right now it's a giant guessing game. I have no clue how this is going to work. I do think we'll have the three sports start up. And I'll say that football will start up at some point. They're going to try to start up. Are they going to be able to finish out their seasons? Your guess is as good as mine. We'll get to Miserable Moments next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation.
Zach Gelb, he's like the Bryce Harper of radio. He's a big star with a big mic.
This is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Big poll question right now on Twitter. Maybe the most imperative poll question that we've ever done in the history of the show. Is Mike Delivers Pod just a foodie? That's Mikey B. Or can he actually put down a lot of food? 58.3% believe that Mike Delivers can eat a lot. 41.7% say that he's just a foodie. Mikey B is here with us now. We'll do some Miserable Moments in just a second. Mikey B, answer the poll question first up out of the gate.
Mikey B can put down some food. Mikey B can eat a lot. A lot. I love to eat.
But are you consistent? Are you consistent with that? Or, as Dog would say, are you just a compiler where you'll have a few good seasons, you'll last a long, you know, you will last in the food restaurants a long time, but you're not really putting down that much food consistently?
No, I can put it down. I mean, I'm not going to lie and say, like, I'm doing it all the time, but it's based more on I just don't want to, you know, gain a ton of weight. But, like, you had this example earlier, if we're going to an Italian restaurant and a couple appetizers are coming out, a couple salads, and I'm not allowing it to be have the restaurant take it back. Like, it will be completely empty, and I'll make sure that everything is gone. Like, I love to eat, and I make sure to exercise a bunch so I can eat. So to answer that question, I am definitely.
Are you really a big exercise guy? You don't come off to me as someone that exercises a lot.
Oh yeah, I've been trying to do about 4 miles every day running.
Really?
Pandemic's coming. Mm-hmm. I'm trying.
Wow.
Not every day I can do it. But
so when you go to a restaurant, for example, you go to an Italian restaurant and you're really hungry. You're craving a big-time meal. Let's say you didn't eat breakfast. You had a few carrots for lunch because you knew you really wanted to pig out.
Right.
What are you ordering? What are you ordering? What are you doing?
I'm probably doing a Caesar salad, and then I want to do some carby appetizer or like a fried calamari. I was always game for that. And then for my entree, I'll do like a homemade pasta, let's say, with different seafood in there. I'm a big fan of that. So that would be like a big meal for me. I'd get excited about.
Scallops, lobster is what you're telling me?
What, say that again, Zach?
Scallops, lobster, that's what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah. scallops, lobster, mussels, and like a nice fresh broth, red or white, doesn't matter to me. Let's go, and I'm going for it. Like, if I know it doesn't, like, big time holidays, I go all out, and I'll make sure to not eat earlier in the day to allow there to be room so that I can eat more. And then also the Ryan Hickey. I'm not a big sweets person. I don't dislike them.
Really? I thought you were going to be a huge dessert guy. I'm shocked by that.
I'm not like anti-dessert. I love. I'd rather have an extra portion with the meal and not get to dessert, as opposed to saving room for dessert. When I go to a restaurant, I don't think about what's on the dessert menu. I think about the entree. I get like bad food anxiety where I don't want to go to the restaurant and pick the wrong meal. Like get upset if there's, for example, 5 items on the entree meal on the menu, and then I pick the wrong entree. That really bugs me out. Like, that'll really bother me.
Isn't that the worst, where you go into a restaurant, you go, all right, I have to get this, but then you sit down at the table and you go, oh, they just said that special. It's really good. And you see someone else get what you wanted to get. You get the special. You go, a little disappointed with the special.
Oh, I know. And then you see somebody next to you eating that, and you're like, oh, that could have been me if I just could go back 20 minutes and change my decision. But I can't.
I actually, before this all did go down, about a month before this did go down, I went to a local place right outside of our office. It was me, 2 salespeople, and one of our great clients. And that client was told from one of the salespeople, you got to get this burger, you got to get this burger, you got to get this burger. So I heard that. I said, I'm going to get the burger. The other sales guy said he was going to get the burger. The great Pete Morgan of Peerless Boilers was going to get the burger. And the guy that was recommending the burger said, I don't know if I'm going to get the burger. Now, we all looked at him and we said, that's a problem. Because if you're telling us how great this burger is, you have to get the burger.
Well, yeah,
then it
exactly.
makes me seem that you're maybe misleading us here. He ended up getting the burger because we peer pressured into getting the burger. And he also recommended the French onion soup. It was delicious. French onion soup and a burger. Sign me up. I'm all good.
So did he not want to get the burger because he was like worried about his waistline and kind of want to just go on a salad direction?
The guy's skinny. The guy's pretty much emaciated. He doesn't have to worry about his waistline.
Oh, that's weak then. Yeah. You got to get the burger if you're recommending the burger. Now I want a burger.
All right. Well, I haven't had dinner yet. Maybe I'll have a burger tonight. Who knows? Well, let's get to miserable moments. Let's roll.
We live for the moments in sports when our team wins it all. Last-second buzzer beaters, game-winning touchdowns, and walk-off home runs. But sometimes it happens against us when our team loses. Our hearts are ripped out of our chest. We cry and even stuff our face with cookies on the sofa to make us feel better. It's time for the Zach Gelb Show Top 10 Miserable Moments in Sports.
All right, here's my miserable moment today. A lot of these times, a lot of these games you look at, they happen when you're a kid and you go to these games and you're so heavily invested in this team. When I was a young Mets fan in 2006, I remember the like the Pepsi party picnic area that they would have at Shea Stadium in left field with the bleachers, Mike?
Sure.
Okay, so I had tickets there, and I'm in the bleachers, and it's crazy. It's Mets, Yankees. I have all the face paint, and I'm looking at the camera. There was a camera guy right by us, and I scream into the camera, "Let's go, Mets!" And it made it into one of those kids' clubhouses that the Mets would used to do. So I was so pumped up for this game. It was Mets-Yankees. I think the Mets won the game the night before in some crazy fashion. And I'm at the game. And when you're growing up in New York, the Mets-Yankees game, Subway Series, are such a big event. And the Mets are cruising. They score 2 runs in the first. They pick up 2 other runs in some other innings. You had Pedro Martinez on the mound. Did everyone love watching Pedro Martinez? The Mets end up going up 4-0 into the ninth. And Billy Wagner's coming into the game. It was a good closer. And you would think Billy Wagner, with the 4-run lead, would get the job done. Now, I've seen some brutal Mets closers in my life. Armando Benitez, Jerry Sfamilia in the playoffs. Braden Looper. We have seen some bad performances by closers when it's, I don't want to say this was a significant game, but in essence, it kind of was because this is Mets-Yankees. So those games, they mean a lot. And the Mets had a really good team that year. They won the division. The Yankees went into that game. They were 24-17. The Mets were 25-17. So both teams were good teams at that point. And you get into the top of the ninth. It starts off with the Giambi single to center field. Then Alex Rodriguez walks. Cano singles. Miguel Cairo flies out to center. Then they walk Melky Cabrera. And you keep on going and going and going. And it's ugly. You know, Giambi scored. You had Rodriguez score, and it's 4-2, and you're not feeling great. Bernie Willett's hit by a pitch. They eventually take Wagner out of the game. Pedro Feliciano comes in. Johnny Damon grounds out, and the game is tied because a run comes in. So you go from 4-0 thinking you're going to win this game to then seeing it go 4-0 to 4-1, 4-1 to 4-2, 4-2 to 4-3, and then it's a tie game. And you get into extra innings, and there's nothing worse because the Mets go down very quickly in the bottom of the ninth. There's nothing worse when you blow a lead and then you got to go into extra innings. And at that point, as a sports fan, when you blow that lead, you're thinking to yourself, all right, how is the team going to mess this up? Like, there's not a part of me when my team blows a big lead thinking that I'm going to win in extra innings. And in the top of the 11th, you saw the Yankees take the lead. They end up winning the game 5-4. I left that game as a kid. My sister was there. She's a Yankee fan. Pretend Yankee fan. She's really a pretend Yankee fan. She's a real Giants fan. She's a real New York football Giants fan. The Yankees, I call her a pretend Yankees fan. Like when the Mets won the World Series in 2015, hey, I want to get tickets. I want to go. Let's go Mets. Let's go Mets. Let's go Mets. And her husband is now a Mets fan, so that probably helps. Mm. But she was always like a flaky Yankees fan.
Right.
And she wants to take advantage of younger brother. So on the car ride home, she's mocking me. Oh, the Mets stink, Mets stink, Mets stink. There's one thing to lose the game and then have your older sister mock you about the game.
Oof.
Ugh, rough, rough, rough. So brutal. Even though it's not like a massive game, being up 4-0 in the ninth and then blowing the lead, I'm sure many people when I was bringing up Mets-Yankees thought it was going to be the Luis Castillo dropping the ball, the pop-up, yeah, which was terrible as well. But that Mets-Yankees game with Billy Wagner just stinking up Shea Stadium, which already stunk as well, but it was a dump, but it was our dump. That was a lot of pain. A lot of pain. What's your miserable moment today, Mikey B? Well,
yeah, and also to that point, Zach, it's interesting because there are games that don't have as much impact in the standings or mean as much maybe as playoff games, but for whatever reason, like you described right there with the circumstance around it, they just, there's some games that sting more even if they don't, you know, matter as much in the standings or it's a playoff loss. But when they hurt, I mean, it just doesn't matter. You know, they're cruel. They can get to you, which is interesting. My game, I'm going back to the 2008 New York Football Giants. They lose in the playoffs to the Philadelphia Eagles. They had a first-round bye. The Giants were the one seed. But what made this game even more difficult, it's not the fact that they lost to the Eagles 23-11 and really just got destroyed. Eagles' defense just took advantage of the Giants, who could never just move the ball down the field and score. The issue for the Giants really was that season, they were having a great year. Not a good year, a great year. They're coming off the 2007 Super Bowl win versus the Patriots with the David Tyree catch.
Shut your
and
mouth.
And the Plexico Burris touchdown in the corner of the end zone, which was all great. 2008
depends
rolled around.
Ass. Horrible for me.
Which was one of your moments. The Giants, then next year, they come around, and they are better than the year before, and they are rolling to a record of 10-1. And after that 10-1 game, one of their star wide receivers, Plexico Burris, shoots himself in the leg. And from that point on, the Giants team was not the same. They beat the Redskins to go to 11-1, but finished the year 12-4. The chemistry was never the same, and they were just a different football team. Then they go on to lose to the Eagles in the playoffs. So it's not only the pain of just watching them lose to your bitter rival, But the fact that they should not have even been in that situation, but for such a stupid moment that happened, just made it all the worse. And then to go see the Eagles move on in advance, luckily Philly lost to an Arizona team that was playing well that went on to the Super Bowl. But it was painful to see the Eagles win in New Jersey when the Giants should have had a much longer run, but misfortunes from Plaxico Burress.
Yeah, and here's the thing with that. You look back at that run, and eventually the Eagles, like you said, losing the NFC Championship game, and Larry Fitzgerald has one of the greatest postseasons you ever see that did not result in a ring. But for you as a fan, there's times where you have a really good team and you know you have a really good team, and an injury or two or three happens and it really derails your season. And when an injury like that happens, it stinks. And you sit back and you think, all right, like, if this injury didn't happen, you know, because some guy didn't tear his ACL or some guy didn't break his arm, look what could have been. And that could drive you nuts. But when it's because a player shoots himself in the leg, you go, you can't make this stuff up.
No, you really can't. I mean, even now, like, looking back and thinking about it, it's so unbelievable. And and you forget at the time just how good that team was and just how dominant they were, because that front line for the Giants, I mean, they were just getting after the quarterback with Tuck and OCU Manure, like, really getting into their primes. I mean, they were a problem for teams. They were a more complete Giants team than the one that beat the Patriots the year before. But, you know, that's sports, obviously. But what you do in the postseason and regular season is meaningless, and that's what happened to the Giants.
Well, because, like you said, I'll illustrate this point as well, that Giants team the year before got hot late.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they almost beat the undefeated Patriots at the time at the end of the regular season, people weren't thinking they were going to the Super Bowl. But they got hot in the postseason, and it carried over into the next season. And you're right, they look unbeatable. They look like they were going back to the Super Bowl, and then the Plaxico Burress situation happens, and then the ship comes crashing down, and the bus comes right to a stop, and the Giants season is over. That's Miserable Moments. We have one more installment of it tomorrow, as we give you the top 10 miserable moments in myself's life, and also in my life, I should say, and Mikey B's life as well. We'll break here. When we come on back, we have to discuss DeSean Jackson. I'll give you my thoughts on that.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. The Player of the Week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. This week, it's Travis Hafner. On this day back in 2006, Cleveland's first baseman became the first player in MLB history to hit 5 grand slams before the All-Star break when he homered off Baltimore's Chris Benson. The Player of the Week was sponsored by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery Grainger for the ones who get it done. To clarify what I was saying earlier about service time of Major League Baseball, I'll give you 2 tweets, and one's from Brick Gloria, and the other is from Mark Bowman. The tweet from Britt, just a reminder that MLB players opting out this season who aren't high risk, aren't getting paid, they aren't getting service time. Now, from Mark Bowman, he clarified that as well. Markakis has elected not to play this year. This means he will not be played. They'll not be paid. Players who opt out are deemed high risk. Those players will receive service time and full prorated salary. So with MLB, it's so confusing. So I guess if you choose not to play because you just don't feel comfortable, the way that I read it from some of these tweets that I saw earlier from Bob Nightingale, if you opt out, and this is the way that I still understand it, you could tell me if I'm wrong, Trace, but if you opt out because you don't feel comfortable and if you don't think it's safe and there's no medical history with you, then you don't get service time and you don't get paid this year. But if you opt out and it's because you have a certain medical condition where you're deemed high risk, then those players receive service time and a full prorated salary. Is that the way that you're reading this too, Trace?
That's the way I understood it. To be honest, classic baseball making it hard to understand, but I was with you. I thought the same thing. It's like one or the other, you know? You either get both or none.
So that's the way that I understand it. And that's the way that I, the way that I'm reading these tweets, that's, you know, if you just say, you know, Zach Gelb, I'm not playing this year. I don't think it's safe to play, but you're not deemed high risk, then you're not getting paid and you're not getting service time. But if Zach Gelb says I'm not going to play this year because I had a certain condition and I'm deemed high risk, then I am going to get paid and I'm going to get a year of service time. So who knows? That's the way that I at least translate it. All right, let me get to this DeSean Jackson story. I woke up this morning and I got a bunch of text about this. I guess this happened sometime yesterday, or maybe it happened late last night. But I didn't really see it until I woke up this morning. And DeSean Jackson posted a photo from a quote that he thought was from Hitler, but it wasn't actually said by Hitler. And when you read it, clearly with Adolf Hitler in the picture here, it's very negative to Jewish people. And full disclosure, I am Jewish. And I read that tweet or that Instagram post. And when I was reading it, I was disgusted. And I was trying to collect my thoughts and figure out how I was going to address it on the air and how I was also addressing it on Twitter. Because I had a lot of people texting me about it, or I even saw a lot of conversation about it. So I felt compelled to give a certain response. And I'm not sure if a lot of people actually liked my response, but that's just the way that I felt about it. What he posted, whether Adolf Hitler said it or not, to try to post something that you thought was from Adolf Hitler is not a good idea. It's not a good idea whatsoever. I don't know what his true intentions were. I'm not going to call DeSean Jackson a bad guy, but you read that post and it's filled with a lot of anti-Semitism. It is. If we're being honest about it, it is. Now, I don't know if that's the way that he meant it to come off. I don't get what he was thinking, but that's the way that it did come off to a lot of people. And I see this push on Twitter and a push on social media that DeSean Jackson should lose his job. So at some point this morning, I went to Twitter and I tweeted something out along the lines of, I don't like what DeSean Jackson said. What DeSean Jackson said was stupid, and I don't get what he was thinking, but I don't think he should be cut. I don't think he should lose his job with the Philadelphia Eagles. And the reason why I had that approach, and maybe it's because of something that happened to me, but when I was in college, I was playing on an intramural floor hockey team. And when I was on that floor hockey team, and it was a Jewish organization that we were in, so we had a hockey team full of Jewish players. And I remember I was getting ready for that game. And the organization that I was in saw a bunch of tweets from a member of another team. And the member of the other team was tweeting something out like, I'd be damned if we lose to a bunch of Jews, and had another tweet that said Heil in it. And I saw that, and I was frustrated. I was annoyed. I was PO'd. And I was probably thinking to myself in the moment, when this guy is near the boards tonight, I want to run into the guy and give a little extra flavor on the hit. But when I calmed down and when I thought about it, and I was a student media member at the time, so the student paper reached out to me and they asked me for a quote. And I found that quote today. And I looked at that quote. And the quote was, we accept this apology. We just want the kid to realize, hey, you messed up, but now you can educate yourself on this issue. I'm not trying to get him kicked out of school or anything like that. We're all around the same age. We're all trying to be successful at college. I don't get why someone would try to put another group of people down like that over a stupid intramural game. And in this case, I don't think DeSean Jackson meant any harm. But with his platform and what he posted, it could hurt a lot of people. Because when you're posting something that you thought Adolf Hitler said, you got to remember that's someone that's responsible for the killing of 6 million Jews. And many other people as well. So maybe because of that past experience with anti-Semitism, that's why I felt this way. That I would like DeSean Jackson to get educated on the situation, and I would be okay, and I'm not going to advocate for DeSean Jackson to lose his job, and ultimately through time, his actions are going to speak louder than words. And I watched the apology videos today, and he said he was never trying to put anyone down. He said he wasn't intending to harm or have any hatred towards anyone, and he did acknowledge that he shouldn't have posted anything about Adolf Hitler because Hitler was a bad person. He was just trying to uplift African Americans and enlighten African American people, which that part I didn't get. So he could have had a good intention, but if you're trying to raise awareness and bring attention to an issue that happens to African American people, why would you try to put down another group in the process? That part I didn't get. And that's the part that I question. But a lot of times in this world, when someone does something wrong, they get fired right away. Or they get suspended. And maybe he gets suspended. Maybe he gets fined. Maybe he gets fired. I don't know. But if that was me personally, and I know the Eagles released a statement today condemning what happened, and so did the National Football League, maybe I just have more sympathy than other people. If you feel that way, hey, it hits you a certain way, and you have every right to have that reaction. But I'm not giving DeSean Jackson a pass here. I just don't think he should lose his job. And DeSean Jackson, he tweeted out as well not that long ago, "I want to apologize to the Jewish community, Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, the Eagles organization, and our fans for the insensitive and ill-informed posts that I shared on my social media. My intention was to uplift, unite, and encourage our culture with positivity and light. Unfortunately, that did not happen. I unintentionally hurt the Jewish community in the process, and for that, I'm sorry. Now more than ever, we must work together to end discrimination of all types and against all people and communities. This apology is more than just words. It is to promise to do better. I will fully educate myself and work with local and national organizations to be more informed and make a difference in our community. I will consider my words and actions moving forward. I will seek out voices from other communities and listen to their words, thoughts, and beliefs. In a time of division, I am committed to doing my part in making this world a better place for our children. And we'll see if DeSean Jackson does that."
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.